Dr. McCullough, I apologize, but this was extremely important. We learned a lot from our very own Quincy, the pathologist is Professor Burkhardt. I you probably remember that TV series, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Just this morning, or I've seen you in many interviews. One of them was on Fox Television with... I think the last one was when you shocked the host, Tucker Carlson. What is your take on this entire situation? We know that a lot of doctors have sort of changed their mind over time because they began to understand that there's a lot of evidence that points in the direction that there really is no actual pandemic, but there is something else going on. What do you think of what's going on?
Well, my quick analysis is I believe that we're under the application of a form of bioterrorism that's worldwide that appears to have been many years in the planning. And the first wave of the bioterrorism is a respiratory virus that spread across the world and affected relatively few people, about 1% of many populations, but generated great fear. The virus was responsible for some deaths in the very frail and elderly, but in otherwise well people, it was like having the common cold. But that fear was used very quickly and I think surprisingly to generate tremendous influences in human life, at lockdowns, all the things you know about. Mm-hmm. And every single thing that was done in the public health response to the pandemic made it worse. So over-testing and even lockdowns probably made it worse because the virus evolved over time to become more contagious. And so every single response made it worse. How I got involved is as a doctor, I thought the virus was going to be pretty easy to treat once we understood there were three phases, the viral replication, cytokine storm, and thrombosis. And so as I promulgated early treatment, I started to meet resistance at all levels in terms of actually treating patients and then publishing papers. And so I'm the editor of two major journals. I'm in the business of publishing. So fortunately, I had enough publication strength to publish basically the only two papers in the entire medical literature that teaches doctors how to treat COVID-19 at home to prevent hospitalization and death. And we did the best we could without any funding or government support. And we demonstrated that it results in about an 85% reduction in hospitalization and death. So what we had discovered is that the suppression of early treatment was tightly linked to the development of a vaccine. And the entire program, as this, in a sense, bioterrorism phase one was rolled out, was really all about keeping the population in fear and in isolation and preparing them to accept the vaccine, which appears to be phase two of a bioterrorism operation. Both the respiratory virus and the vaccine deliver to the human body the spike protein, the gain-of-function target of this bioterrorism research. Now, I can't come out and say all that on national TV today or any time, but what we had learned over time is that we could no longer communicate with government agencies. We actually couldn't even communicate with our propagandized colleagues and major medical centers, all of which appear to be under a spell, almost as if they're hypnotized right now. And doctors, good doctors, are doing unthinkable things like injecting biologically active messenger RNA that produces this pathogenic spike protein into pregnant women. I think when the doctors wake up from their trance, they're going to be shocked to think what they've done to people. And so our strategy was to organize. There are many groups. One group in the United States called C19 that I organized. Many of you get these emails. It's about 1,000 people. Another one's called FLCCC, Frontline Critical Care Consortium. Another worldwide one is called PANDA. You may be involved in that. There's also HEART, and Bird and COVID Medical Network, treatment Domiciliary in Italy. It's gotten to the point where people have rallied in the UK and in Germany to rally for early treatment. Governments have actually tried to block even any single milligram of treatment to individuals. And so we decided by the summer we had to take our message to the people. We had one physician association that worked with us called the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. We created a home patient guide. We organized the United States into four national telemedicine services, 15 regional services. We broke through to the people. And the people who got sick with COVID-19 called in, got medications prescribed to local pharmacies or to mail order distribution pharmacies. And so without the government really even understanding what was going on, we crushed the epidemic curve in the United States towards the end of December and January. We basically took care of the pandemic with about 500 doctors and telemedicine services. And to this day, we treat about 25% of the U.S. COVID-19 population that actually are at high risk over age 50 with medical problems or present with severe symptoms. And we've basically handled the pandemic. And at the same time, we've tried to keep ourselves above the political fray. And we understand the suppression of early treatment is tightly linked to vaccination. And then we've let all the news on vaccination come out and are working to change the public view of the vaccine. The public initially accepted the vaccine, and we had to kind of slowly turn the ship. And now in the United States, rates of vaccination have been dropping since April 8th. They continue to drop every day. The vaccine centers that I go by are completely empty. And in the United States, they're becoming desperate to try to convince individuals to get a vaccine. They're offering $1 million lotteries. All the universities who are trying to force vaccination are receiving resistance. I'm the lead expert in the bellwether Houston Methodist case, which is currently being argued before a judge in Texas. It's going to be quickly escalated to the Supreme Court of Texas, where Houston Methodist Hospital, a leading hospital, is attempting to force the employees to receive the vaccine. And we already have word that it's going to be escalated to the Supreme Court case. It'll be a very high visibility case. So we have a lot of activity going on in the United States. We are engaging more and more attorneys. It's great to have you and your team involved, on the international level. And I imagine we're aligned on almost all the things I said.
Yes. Let me quickly translate, but give us a chance, because I don't want to be rude, but I completely forgot to introduce you because I thought that everybody knows you. I think most people do. But please tell us a little about your background.
So let me introduce myself. I'm Peter McCullough. I'm a professor of medicine at Texas A&M College of Medicine on the Baylor-Dallas campus. I practice internal medicine and cardiology. When the pandemic hit, I refocused all of my efforts on COVID-19. I'm the editor of Reviews in Cardiovascular Medicine. I'm the editor of Cardiorenal Medicine. This is my area of research. Senior associate editor of American Journal of Cardiology. I'm the president of the Cardiorenal Society. And in my field about heart and kidney connections, I'm the most published person in my field in the world in history. And I have developed great experience in treating COVID-19. I've published the two major treatment papers, and I've led the early treatment initiative in the United States. So I have, whether people like it or not, I have declared my medical authority in doing this to a greater extent than anybody in public health agencies or any other media doctors.
Thank you so much. We can sure as hell be glad that you're on our side. Extremely grateful. Okay, I'm going to translate this. Also, ich fasse es zusammen, weil wenn man die Liste der Accomplishments seine Biografie im Detail abgeht, er ist Professor an A&M University in Texas. Er ist in diesem Bereich, um den es hier geht, der meist publizierte Mediziner, Wissenschaftler in diesem konkreten Bereich. Er sagt das, wie Sie ja eben gesehen haben, nicht überheblich, sondern er sagt einfach, das werfe ich in die Waagschale, damit man mir zuhört. Und er hat aufgrund dieser dieses unglaublichen wissenschaftlichen Hintergrundes, hat er es geschafft, so hat er eben gesagt, mit vielleicht 500 weiteren Ärzten, die auch auf seiner Seite sind und so arbeiten wie er, die Pandemie zu brechen, indem man einfach die alternativen Behandlungsmethoden eingesetzt hat. Wir fragen ihn gleich nochmal, was das ist. Er sagt, als auf meine Eingangsfrage, wie schätzen Sie die Situation ein, sagt er, hier, wir haben es hier mit Bioterrorismus zu tun. Ein Bioterrorismus, der seit vielen Jahren in der Planung gewesen ist. Es wurde dabei Angst, Panik, das wissen wir alles, benutzt, um die Menschen dazu zu bringen, mitzuspielen. Alles war von Anfang an darauf ausgerichtet, diese Vaccines, die ja keine sind, wie wir wissen, einzusetzen. Und das, obwohl von Anfang an auch erkennbar war, sagt er gerade, dass es zum Zytokinsturm, dass es zu diesen Thrombosegeschichten kommt. Es wurde die Panik so eingesetzt, wie wir es aus dem Panikpapier hier in Deutschland kennen, um die Menschen gefügig zu machen. Es gab Widerstand auf allen Ebenen in der Regierung, unter den Kollegen, die teilweise unter einem Schock oder unter einem Spell Zauber zu sein scheinen, mit dem man nicht mehr reden kann. Wir selber haben das ja auch gesehen, auch unter den eigenen Kollegen gibt es das hier in der Justiz. Es wurde alles getan, um alternative Behandlungsmethoden zu verhindern, um sie unmöglich zu machen, weil alles immer auf diese, so sagt er, auf diese Impfstoffe zulaufen sollte. Mit den Regierungsagencies kann man nicht mehr sprechen, mit den Kollegen teilweise auch nicht. Er ist in mehreren Arztgruppierungen, medizinischen Gruppierungen unterwegs. Er hat sie eben alle genannt. Panda ist eine davon, mit der wir auch zusammenarbeiten. Das sind Südafrikaner. Inzwischen, sagt er, haben sie mit diesen 500 Ärzten und den alternativen Heilmethoden die Erkrankung durchbrochen, gecrushed, sagt er. Inzwischen ist es so, dass die Impfraten immer weiter runtergehen. Inzwischen muss also offenbar sehr viel Geld eingesetzt werden, um Menschen überhaupt noch dazu zu bringen. Lotterien werden gespielt, wo man eine Million gewinnen kann. Ich weiß, dass es auch in Kanada passiert. In den USA jedenfalls scheint etwas wie ein Durchbruch gelungen zu sein. So it appears that in the United States at least, things are really changing right now.
We've clearly had an impact. I'm in Texas, where we never underwent lockdown. I was a strong proponent of us staying open. We had 35 treating doctors who are willing to go against their medical centers and treat patients. We were able to convince our governor to put an executive order recognizing natural immunity, banning any mandatory vaccines by public agencies, banning vaccine passports, banning any discrimination on passports. We recently passed similar legislation for private employers. However, we were unable to get in a ban on private employers mandating the vaccine. So that part is going to be litigated with the Houston Methodist bellwether case. We're very active. We have the American Frontline Doctors as another group that has a temporary restraining order in against pediatric vaccination filed in Alabama. And we have cases filed in the state of Maine against falsely coding the test results positive on inflating the number of cases and deaths. We have a variety of activities. We have allies in Washington, Senator Ron Johnson and Senator Rand Paul. We have allies in the media, largely Fox News and Real News and OAN. We don't yet have CNN or MSNBC. But the C19 group that I loosely formed, we now are on national TV almost every night in the United States to provide a counter viewpoint to Anthony Fauci and Walensky at the CDC and NIH. And we bring on different experts and continue to appear to the American people that we have more scientific credibility than the agencies.
And why do you think that is, that this, you know, this window of opportunity has opened for you to be on national TV? I mean, that's quite something. I mean, here, this at this point, you know, this is impossible, basically.
Well, we had some help in the media. We had some open-eyed people who were willing to give some high-level interviews. We have good social media contacts all over the world that really amplified things. Although we're consistently shut down on Twitter and YouTube, we continue to find new strategies to get the points out. We're very evidence-based. You know, United States, we're a whole country of rebels and people who want to break the law. You know, that's who we are. And so we have, you know, the Children's Health Defense Fund, Robert F. Kennedy, Del Bigtree. We have some very big figures. I mean, we've had Senator Rand Paul come out and say, listen, I'm not taking the vaccine. I've had COVID-19. So did Senator Johnson. Sebastian Gorka, who interviewed me, he was used to be in the Trump administration. He interviewed me. He's going to come out on Sunday night and say he took hydroxychloroquine and defeated COVID-19 in December. He's not taking the vaccine. So, you know, we have to have people be making these public statements, you know, with, on, for instance, on Real TV with Dan Ball coming up in a few hours, he's going to come on and say he's not taking the vaccine. We've helped shut down the Los Angeles school district from mandating the vaccine. His kids go to school there. They've backed off on the mandates. So we're working very hard. This is the strategy. We know that this is bioterrorism. We know that this is phase two of bioterrorism, and we know we don't know who's behind it, but we know that they want a needle in every arm to inject messenger RNA or adenoviral DNA into every human being. They want every human being. Our goal is we can't stop from everybody, but our goal is to get a large group that they cannot get to, that they cannot vaccinate. And that would be COVID recovered, suspected COVID recovered, those with immunity, children, pregnant women, childbearing women. We want a big block. And if we can get that big block and break them, if we can break the needle in every arm, then I think it'll be exposed on what is the plan for a needle in every arm.
You know, I'm sure glad that this is happening in the U.S. right now, because it took some time for people to really get going there. We're in close touch and in close cooperation with the attorneys that you we didn't mention any names, but I know you know Anna Garner and Tom Renz, who are working on this TRO in Alabama. Of course, we're in close cooperation with CHD, Bobby Kennedy, Mary Holland. And we're also in close cooperation with these people and others in other country, like on the African continent, for example. And there are some really good things going on right now. The tragic thing is, though, that here in Germany, I think we have now a rate of vaccination where people have gotten their second vaccination of only 19%. But those who got their first shot are up to close to 50%. And whenever I'm in a cab, for example, talking to the cab drivers, it's very easy to talk with them because they seem to understand much more than many of the scientists and doctors who appear on mainstream media. And they spread the news. But it's more important, I think, and that's what we're trying to do here in Germany and internationally, it's more important to spread the word, to explain to the people, to get out the truth, to explain to them what these shots really do. And I saw an interview with you, which is almost mirrored by what your colleagues in Canada. We spoke with Dr. Roger Hodgkinson. We spoke with Professor Luc Montagnier and with Byron Bridle. No, we haven't spoken to Byron Bridle yet. But everyone agrees this has got to stop immediately. This is excessively, it's monstrously dangerous. We heard about how pregnant women who got the shots, it appears in their breast milk. And of course, I don't know if you said this or Byron Bridle said this, but there are some cases of suckling infants who suffered bleeding disorders and other problems. So this is a monstrous thing that needs to be stopped, and I think everybody agrees on this.
Well, we're trying to get to this public health message that can really get the public health attention. So I think it was about a week ago, Harvey Risch and I appeared on Fox News, and Harvey Risch did describe the vignette of the woman who got the vaccine and breastfeeding, and it killed the baby. Today, we have 800 cases of young people developing myocarditis or inflammation of the heart. Mm-hmm. And because I'm a cardiologist, I have a clinical authority position here. And I'm going to opine that because there's no clinical benefit whatsoever in young people to get the vaccine, that even one case is too many. And the CDC, distributed their slides today, and their conclusion is, well, we're going to reevaluate again a little bit later on in June. So our agencies have done nothing to reduce the risks of the vaccine. It's called risk mitigation. And I've chaired over 24 data safety monitoring boards for the FDA and the National Institutes of Health. And with this program, there is no critical event committee. There is no data safety monitoring board, and there's no human ethics committee. Those structures are mandatory for all large clinical investigations. And so the word that's really used for what's going on is malfeasance, is wrongdoing by those in position of authority. And without any safety measures in place, you can see what's going on. We're administering basically it's the largest application of a biological product with the greatest amount of morbidity and mortality in the history of our country. We are at over 5,000 deaths, as you know. I think 15,000 hospitalizations. In the EU, it's over 10,000 deaths. We are working with Center for Medicaid and Medicaid Services, CMS data, and we have a pretty good lead that the real number is tenfold. We knew from data from Harvard in 2016 that the vaccine adverse event reporting system only reports about 10% of what's really going on. So we had to get another data source, and we have inside people. We have now a whistleblower inside the CMS, and we have two whistleblowers within the CDC. And those are being developed right now in order to get this out. So we're looking at 10x. We think we have 50,000 dead Americans, 50,000. So we actually have more deaths due to the vaccine per day than certainly the viral illness by far. It's basically, in a sense, it's propagandized bioterrorism by injection.
Yeah.